AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Brett here today. Do you know, I'm trying to remember if this is the case. My first political interview on this station was Deb Hillstrom, Representative 40B. I'm almost positive of that. I mean,
really?
Because I
have archives that go back until then. We can fact check you.
I think it was 2010. She's been in the Minnesota House since 2000. And I believe Deb Hillstrom was my first interview, which is pretty cool because as it goes back there, it's sometimes nice to revisit this all. And we are running of course, Democrat of the Day coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to be talking to Deborah Hillstrom, who is the same, by the way, Deborah Hillstrom, not a different one. She is, of course, running for the Attorney General's position here. She's one of the five DFLers. Mike Rothman, Keith Ellison, Matt Pelican. We've had, by the way, just FYI, we've had Keith Ellison on and Matt Pelican on. Obviously, we'll put the invite out to Mike Rothman. Tom Foley also is running. He's listed as running. So, equal time. We're for most of the campaigns, we're not dealing with the primary candidates just because when you're looking at 100-some House seats, yeah. And I'm trying to get as many of these Democrats on as possible. So I've been focusing prior to the primaries on candidates who are not primaried. Michael Northbird yesterday, not being primaried, two-way. So we had him on. I've got other candidates coming on here. But when we get to the Senate race, the governor's race, and the attorney general's race, we've been wanting to try to get people on because, especially in the case of the attorney general, I don't think a lot of people knew much about Matt Pelican prior to the convention. And we sure had a lot of people enter this after the convention. So we're kind of treating this as its original cycle. If that makes sense.
It's a statewide race as well. It's different than a legislative race.
Exactly.
Where if you did it for everything, you'd have not enough days in the year to do Democrat of the Day.
It wouldn't. And so we're going to have Deb on. She's in studio. She's coming in studio. Have we not warned them about this?
You didn't scare Dean Phillips off when he was in studio.
Dude, man, that guy was awesome. All right, Deb, I'm sorry about this is just me. Okay. This is how I look. It's who I am. I'm a slacker. Okay. I asked, how do I look? I said to Brett before I got the show, how do I look? He goes, like usual. I said, that bad. And I said, yep. Oh,
well, you don't come in here wearing a suit and tie or a tuxedo or anything.
A tux. I wear like a band tux with frills down the center. That's like I'm like an extra in The Godfather. Thanks to Mark Hamill, that's right, Luke Skywalker, who because it just – you want to understand what a different world people run in here. He liked – he didn't retweet me. He liked me. And if you liked a tweet of mine, I posted the image of it, and it sent me onto Cloud9. And Cliff Schechter, who knows Mark Hamill, actually said he still gets the shivers too because it's Luke Skywalker, for goodness sakes. He liked a tweet of mine. Good tweet, too. Just him liking this tweet. He didn't retweet it. He just liked it. That tweet's up to 2,500 likes, around 200 retweets, and about 120 responses to it. It's amazing. And that, by the way, probably doesn't include all the guys I've blocked because, Troll Boy shows up. And that's always
Are even still showing up in the responses.
Oh, my God. Just obnoxious. But needless to say, I mean, it is what it is. I have by choice. A while back, I was offered an opportunity to maybe go out to L.A. and go out and work out in the Los Angeles market and stuff. And I'm not. That's why? Earthquake sweaters don't exist. Okay, it gets cold here. I can throw a sweater on. Earthquake sweaters. No, you just have to run from every building and not be around anything that can fall on you. Good luck. No, I like being in Minnesota. I like being here. This is my home. This is where I was born. This is where my family's from. I'm, Minnesota, pure and through. And I love being here. So, the idea of going out there is something that I've entertained, but I never really followed through on. You go on out there and you get big success, and you don't realize how successful the guy is. I mean, he just likes this, and all these people – all of a sudden, who are just Who looks at my likes? Does anyone look at anything I like? No. No one cares. And that's perfectly fine. I'm hitting it to like. I mean, it's more of a personal choice, really, for me. Ooh, a picture about ice cream. Like. That's all it is. I'm not trying to change the world or anything like that. But he does it, and, you know, there are so many people that are following him because he is that kind of iconic of figure. I can't even comprehend what it's like for him on a daily basis. Just going into a store, anything, nothing is normal.
2.8 million followers. Can you imagine that?
I can't.
I mean, I thought you were doing pretty well on yours. You've got a couple thousand, which is still solid.
Facebook page is at 6,000. We got 6,000 followers on the Facebook page. By the way, join us on Facebook, Matt McNeil Show, Progressive Citizen X. On the Twitterverse, it's Matt McNeil Show. You can enjoy us there. And so between the two, it's about 8,000-some people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. And I think in this market, that's mm-hmm. pretty good.
Absolutely.
I think that's really good. But it's just that is a different world, man. That is a different world.
We were talking, what happens when you like something, and how does your phone just like buzz 24/7?
It does.
Because you're saying yours is going off like 24/7.
I had to turn it off last night. I had to completely turn the phone off last night because I have it next to bed, and I just sort of said, the heck with this. I'm not going to have this thing keep me up all night long. So, wow. It is so dang cool. I know, act like you've been there before. No, it's Luke freaking Skywalker. It's Luke Skywalker. As he is sitting there battling Darth Vader, he stopped, checked his phone. Hey, there's a tweet from this Matt McNeil guy. Like, and then started fighting Darth Vader again, man.
He did that as a Force ghost as well. That's pretty impressive.
That was nice. Well done.
I don't think he's alive right now, technically. Is Luke Skywalker?
I don't know what happened to him.
We can give away spoilers.
That was six months ago. Drinking the sea cow milk. That's all I know. He was out there. Dude, man, you sure there's nothing else on that island? I mean, there's not a creek or anything like that? You know, really? That's your option? All right. Sea cow milk. Ooh, got to milk the walrus, which sounds far dirtier than it should be. Also, by the way, I think because of and pointing out that we are going to try to start our own startup company here at AM 950, the Matt McNeil Show.
I heard this yesterday. I want in.
Tricycle, which is although I have already had I've already had people send me these hipster-style tricycles for sale, like steampunks tricycles. Like, you got to be kidding me.
I thought they actually exist.
They already exist already.
But
there are two wheels in the front and one in the back and, you know, like organically harvested seats. I'm not exactly sure how that works. But we, of course, after the scooter fiasco, because once again, these scooters come on in and these hipsters are all over it, we've decided, okay, we're going to get some of this bling bling. And so we've decided we're going to create our own tricycle company. Where it's just a tricycle. You're going to basically have two wheels in the back, kind of winter snow tire wheels like you see on those fat tires on the bikes, and then one big hoop wheel in the front like it's a 1920s bike. And you're going to be able to rent these things, and we're going to get you to bike around town. We'll just, like I said, we'll either put on old TV shows or kind of bizarre, real.
They got to be on VHS tape as well.
Real fringe anime concept art from some weird locale. We're going to do this, and we're going to market it to the hipsters. We're going to be there, but before we must have triggered off a nerve because did you see Minneapolis is now getting ready to crack down on these things? So we made the point. He said, they're supposed to wear a helmet. Have you ever seen anyone on the electric scooters wearing a helmet?
Doug Padgett apparently went on one of these yesterday for his wife's 30th wedding anniversary. They tried one.
Did he put a helmet on?
I'll have to ask him later today.
Because here's a real quick way to get rid of these things. If you basically say you have to have a helmet on and we're going to basically give you a ticket if you don't have a helmet on, well, that's going to be the end of it. Because, you know, hipsters, they don't want their – does a helmet fit a man bun?
Going to mess up your hair too. You can't. Well,
the man bun does that on its own. Let's be honest about things. Do you have to let it down, or is it going to be like the conductor from Polar Express who pulls out the thing and just comes flying down? Deb Hillstrom in studio with us, candidate for the Attorney General as Democrat of the day. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We'll let you know. We're going to figure out how we're going to do tricycle. And how we're going to market this startup company, because we're going to take you hipsters. You want to give us money? It's either that or we start knitting decorative scarves, and none of us are good at knitting. So.
And don't forget Hunter's selfie stick. That's got to be
The selfie stick's going to be on the tricycle bikes. I mean, geared towards the active, youthful, hip culture of today, kids. Watch us roll in the coin. Roll in the coin. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to focus the first part of the show on trade. And once again, it is very important that we acknowledge we have a president who doesn't know the first damn thing about trade. He doesn't understand how trade works. He does trade like a three-year-old in a daycare. Mine. Mine. And when the person comes back and says, no, mine, he's like, no, mine. He doesn't. I mean, is that really the perfect the analogy for what is his trade policy? Mine. I'm going to take it. It's mine now. Mine. And he doesn't understand we don't control these other countries. And the rest of the world's economies have gotten good enough to where the U.S. is not nearly the shining star it once was. The Chinese market, the European Union market, they're very strong. Developing markets in Africa, India as well, very strong. So we got into this problem, and there are – forget about Wall Street for a second because, and once again, if you watch Fox Business, CNBC, Wall Street Journal, you see any of these reports in Bloomberg, a lot of them are basically painting the rosiest picture ever. Just, hey, it's no strain whatsoever. There's clear strain on these markets. I mean, if you take away Netflix, Amazon, and Google – off of all the fun, all the money raised, the markets are horribly down. Those three stocks alone are
how about Apple in there too?
Well, Fang, yeah, the Fang, Facebook, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, and Google, Fang, the old Fang stocks. If you take the tech, those handful of tech stocks, and you take them away, boom, the markets are crud. So forget about that. There are some other signs, though, that we are in real big, and I mean real big trouble. I'll go to the Glean on MinnPost. As he reports, Minnesota's businesses are starting to feel the impact of the trade war. They're feeling pain from two directions. Exports are declining, and the cost of keeping some key imported materials are rising. Some are looking for federal help to offset the tariff impacts. I'll get to that in a second. One group feeling the trade dispute is Minnesota's dairy operators. Our farm is losing $4,000 a month, roughly, said Steve Hoffman. Hoffman's wife operated a 140-cow dairy near New Ulm in southern Minnesota. They said many factors affect the price farmers get for their milk, but sees a clear link between the roughly 10% drop in the market and the ramp-up of tariffs and counter-tariffs from last spring. I mean, you just look at Canada alone. I think that's, what, 7% of the decrease is Canada. On Wisconsin, Minnesota? This ag war was unnecessary. It did not need to be fought. He was trying to find something he could basically declare a tariff war on, thinking that there is something, there's a product that we produce or the world produces that you can start either putting tariffs on or forcing on the market, and it's just going to go easily. It just doesn't work that way. And as I've said numerous times, the rest of the world is targeting us like a surgeon. They're not going after our high-tech products. They're going after our ag markets because the difference between a recession and the Great Depression was our ag markets cavitated at the same time. And if the ag markets go, there's very little way you're going to be able to rebuild the other economic sectors. And so they're doing what they can do. 2.5 billion pound meat surplus right now. Meat, a 2.5 billion pound. We've never had as much U.S. surplus meat in this country, pork, beef primarily. The reason why? China and Mexico. Those two countries alone take a ton of our beef and our pork, and they're not open for business nearly as much as they used to be. Now, short-term results, you're going to see a price decrease, especially on the lower price cuts of meat. Don't expect T-bones and ribeyes and stuff like that to be lower price, but you know, your ground beef is going to be dirt cheap. Your flank steaks, maybe ribs, be pretty cheap. You're going to be able to get a lot of that stuff cheap for the time being because they have to unload the product. But when you're looking at a 4,000, farms don't make money. I mean, corporate farms do. The large agribusiness farms do. But the mom-and-pop farms, which every Republican loves to pose with, that every Republican likes to think that they likes to pretend that they're standing up for, they make $25,000, $26,000, $27,000 a year. That's their final profit margins. This guy is saying he's losing $4,000 a month, roughly. How long till he walks away? He just can't keep it going there. I mean, he's got, by my count, 6 months. If his margins are 24, 6 months. We got a mess here. And we, like I said, and the reason why, the only reason this $2.5 billion meat or billion pound meat surplus exists is because Trump started a trade war he should have never started. It didn't exist beforehand. It exists now solely due to Trump. But alas, Trump says he's going to solve it. I'll explain that when we come back from the break. Also, a far more dark sign about the economy just came to light today in Southern California. I'll talk about that too when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Hoping for a chance to
talk. Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed, and buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So we have this massive meat surplus. And by the way, if you're vegetarian and you're like, you know, don't know what to feel about this, don't worry. There's a massive soybean stockpile as well, too. So we'll have tofu for everyone, all right? But this is, once again, short-term prosperity because the cost of this stuff is going to go up dramatically. Trump is realizing he is absolutely annihilating his base. And by the way, Trump, I got to read this to you. This clown said this today. This is, I'm quoting him at the VFW convention. This is the president of the United States. Just remember, what you are seeing and what you are reading is not what's happening. Wow. Hey, ignore the reality. Nothing to see here. Frank Drebin, police squad. Nothing to see here. Please go home. Wow. It's a Breaking Bad episode come to life, man. That is. Just remember, what you are seeing and what you are reading is not what's happening. What in the world are you talking about?
That seems like a good big fire, backfire big time coming up in 2020.
You would think.
Yeah.
But now, with his supporters.
I think you're right. Man.
How many of his supporters, when you went out at noon with sun out, sunny day, said it's the middle of the night, how many of his supporters would say, yeah, it's the middle of the night?
A third, maybe?
I'd say 15-20%. I would say only
15-20%.
Why are you questioning him? He says it's night. It's good enough for me. It's nighttime. That's what they'll do.
Well, I think part of them would just try to rationalize it, too. Midnight somewhere else. Trump is technically right.
He's really kind of thinking outside the box. Yeah. Put him back in the box, okay? How about I can leave him someplace factory sealed.
I think you're low on the 15. I think it'd be more than that.
All right. So he came out today. He's going to try to solve this massive problem with our soybean, particularly the soybean in the meat industry, dairy as well, taking a big hit right now. He's going to offer $12 billion. Now, that's a lot of money. It sounds like a lot of money. And it is a lot of money. Let's not, mix words. $12 billion is a lot of money. But the last time I checked, the Chinese have imposed themselves $34 billion worth of tariffs, half of which are on American ag products, which, I don't know, my math might not be great. But that'd be $17 billion on China alone. That doesn't factor in Mexico, Canada, and the EU and their trade war. So this is really spitting into the wind, to say the point. I will say I spent about an hour trying to figure out where they're saying that this is going to come out from the Ag Department and established programs. I can't see where this money's coming from. It just looks like money they can put on the deficit, which technically the president can't do without a House and Senate vote. He can't add to the budget. But they're saying that it's in these budgets. I can't find this $12 billion. Needless to say, it's not going to do squat. And even the soybean growers of America have already come on out and said, it's a fine gesture, but the reality is get rid of these tariffs. That's what's really hurting us. If you think about our economy in three different things, and once again, we need to, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I always think when we got rid of our ag broadcasting in the metro area, that was a massive mistake because we are an ag state. We have a ton of agriculture in the state, and it is a driving factor in our economy. If the ag sector cavitates, if the Wall Street people cavitate, and once again, Wall Street's basically being held up by about five different stocks right now. And if the housing market cavitates again, we're not going to be looking at a recession. We're going to be looking at a Great Depression. And on top of it, a trade fight going on as we basically have to deal with the consequences of Trump. Here's where things from Southern California get really bad. Back in 2008, in August of 2008, do you remember what caused that big ball of money to all of a sudden become so toxic that it killed all the banks and mortgage companies and all that? Do you remember what had happened? Because I do remember what had happened. There was one very specific number that came in. The Southern California housing sales numbers came in. Their sales dropped, I believe back then it was 7.9%. This was from June to July in August. Those numbers came on out. It was a pretty substantial drop in home sales in Southern California, which basically took the shine off the rotten apple. That big ball of toxic loans that these banks were passing between each other, and then became quite literally a toxic game of hot potato, and whoever got left holding that big ball of money was the bank that ended up collapsing, and quite a few of them were taken out by this. Today, the Southern California housing sales numbers came in. Numbers from May to June down 11.8%. 11.8. It's a bellwether for the housing industry across the country. By the way, average house price in California, $500,000, man. Dear Lord, I'm presuming that's individual house, not condos and townhomes included in on that. But dear Lord, if you read through the stories on this, there's a lot of people saying, hey, it's really not that bad. It's really okay. It's really all right. It's not, hey, don't be too concerned. Don't be too scared. It's all right. The reality is you've just lost 11. That's an 11-point loss in 1 month. Going into summer, I have a bad feeling we're about to hit an incredibly rough economic stretch. And I don't know what we can do to stop it because the people that should stop it, the Republicans, the Eric Paulsons, the Jason Lewises, the Tom Emmers, they've forfeited their responsibility in the checks and balances category. And right now we have a delusional drunk 3-year-old who thinks he's the smartest guy on the planet out there doing things that are doing irreparable damage to our economy. And I just, for the life of me, at what point do you look at this whole thing and not say, oh, dear Lord, we have to stop this? I don't know. But I know this is something that's going to affect a lot of our ag community in Minnesota. Just I'll post the stories a little bit later on. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we return, representative from 40B, Deborah Hillstrom, no longer running for the House. She's running for the Attorney General in the primary. We'll talk to her when we do come back. It's Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Make plans to attend the one and only Powderhorn Art Fair on Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th in the heart of South Minneapolis and picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. Experience and purchase original artwork from more than 230 artists. Spend time with your family and friends creating your own work of art at over a half a dozen art stations. And don't forget to grab a bite to eat from over 25 different food trucks. So join us on Saturday, August 4th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. or Sunday, August 5th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or both. The Powderhorn Art Fair is proudly brought to you by Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association in collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board with a generous gift from the Metropolitan Regional Art Council. Again, join us for over 230 artists, 25 food trucks, and 6 arts experiences on August 4th and 5th. So we'll see you there at one of the most local art fairs around.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a 2 Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible. For many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetime. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by eatlocalminnesota.com. Cafe Latte is the restaurant of the week. Fantastic pizzas over there, by the way. And the great desserts there. The turtle cake, is just amazing. If you get a chance to have a slice of that, they've got that in the case. Get that. You'll be very happy. Victoria and Grand in St. Paul, Cafe Latte is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Democrat of the day, Deborah Hillstrom, who many people might recognize as representative from 40B. She has been in the Minnesota House for a long time, since 2000, 9 terms there. Nicely done.
Thank you.
And she, earlier this year, when Lori Swanson was still up in the air on whether or not she was going to be running, you had actually said, I'm going to run as long as Lori Swanson doesn't run. So you actually have probably had the longest of the current campaigns that are going. You probably had been the longest because you were kind of anticipating maybe Lori Swanson not being there.
Yeah, so I had gotten in at the end of the legislative session last year, started traveling the state asking Minnesotans if they'd consider supporting me to be the next attorney general if the position was open. Ultimately, then the position wasn't open, but now the position is. So I'm running to be the next attorney general.
Talk a little bit about your feeling. We go into this convention, and whether or not you feel as if the convention results are the grand sign of democracy or a sign of the problem with the convention process is irrelevant. Matt Pelican is the endorsed candidate from the convention. Lori Swanson withdraws. You are not the only one who at that point said, wait a minute here, this is an open seat at this point. We're going to not, just take the convention at its word and go forward. Talk about what was going through your mind, your timeline, and your reaction as you saw what happened in Rochester.
So I was in Rochester, as soon as the withdrawal happened and Matt Pelican was endorsed, I left the convention. I knew something was up. I was uncertain as to what it was, so I went home and started paying attention just like everyone else to see what was happening. I had conversations with my family, made it very clear early on that if the position was open, I was going to run to be the next attorney general. My family still agreed that that was the plan, and so we waited. As soon as we knew, I got back in the race.
And, amongst other people as well, it became a much more of a crowded field fairly quickly here. And we're heading for a primary coming up here on August 14th. And by the way, in the early voting, we've already had the early voting. When does the early voting end?
So you can early vote right up until election
day.
It's just right now it's more like an absentee balloting, but you actually physically go into the county location, you pick up your ballot, and you can leave it right there. But you can absentee ballot right up until election day, and then election day folks can vote at their regular polling location.
Beautiful. All right, there you go. Information you can use. We'll get to the what you've been campaigning on, and then the choice that people have to make on the DFL side here in a little bit. But let's go back to the basics. Who exactly is Deb Hillstrom?
So I've served in the Minnesota House for the last 18 years. I've worked on issues of public safety and consumer protection. I've worked with this attorney general and the previous one, protecting Minnesotans, whether it's from financial scams or whether it's protecting vulnerable adults, protecting veterans. I went to law school while serving in the legislature, became a lawyer, and then became a prosecutor for the Anoka County Attorney's Office. So I prosecuted cases of financial exploitation of adults in later life, abuse, neglect. Did some misdemeanor domestic assault cases, and then by the time I was leaving was doing some felony domestic assault cases. I want to use the skills that I learned both at the Capitol and as a prosecutor to fight for Minnesotans. They need a strong consumer advocate, and I'm the only one that's both written the laws and defended them in the courtroom.
I was just about to bring that up. I mean, that's an interesting perspective that you bring to this, in that you've got all this experience in the Minnesota House, and then on top of it, the legal system. And talk about let's talk a little bit more about your experience in the judicial realm here, because I mean, obviously, that must have become a bit of an eye opener, considering how quickly you were to jump into the potentially jump in the AG's race a while back.
Given that I was also the chair of the Judiciary Committee while serving in the legislature, I both funded the judiciary, funded the public defenders, looked for alternatives to incarceration, and then, of course, prosecuted in the courtroom. So I think I'm the only one in the race that's actually argued a case before the Minnesota Supreme Court, and I've done a grand jury case. So I think I'm the only one on those.
And do you feel as if – talk about how that opened your eyes when you – that's very impressive, by the way. Nice resume. When you're looking at the court, the legal system as we have it here, because a lot of people, they don't quite know what to think about it. And I mean, you've seen it from, you know, base prosecution to, you know, Supreme Court cases, grand jury cases. You've really gone through the entire gamut of the judicial side of things. I mean, it must be interesting, because there you really must see how the whole system does work.
I have. And, you know, we've looked for alternatives and other ways to deal with things. So, for example, I carried legislation to create these specialty courts, right? So veterans courts, domestic violence courts, DWI courts, kind of the alternative wraparound kinds of courts. The county that I was in was the first county in the country to do a pre-charge diversion for felony drug charges and low-level felony thefts. And so I've actually seen how you can actually distinguish between those that we're mad at and those that we're afraid of. And so I'd like to use the skills that I learned both in the legislature and in the courtroom to bring justice for all Minnesotans.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, where you want to go, because, I mean, part of the AG's role is reactionary. You know, problems, issues come up. But you can't help but bring in issues that you would like to look further into and determine if there's a potential that you could do some things with. What are some of those issues that are near and dear to your heart that as the AG you would want to address?
So some of the ones that are on the top of mind from Minnesotans that we've been traveling all across the state, they've been bringing up. One is this opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. Pharmaceutical companies lied to Minnesotans. Doctors overprescribed pharmaceuticals, opioids, and people got addicted, and now they're overdosing and dying. And pharmaceutical companies need to be held accountable for the damage that they've done. I tried to do that in the legislature through legislation, the penny a pill, and making pharmaceutical companies actually pay for the damage. That didn't pass and become law, so I'd like to do that in the courtroom and sue the pharmaceutical companies to pay. Other states are doing it, and we should too. Pharmaceutical companies have also – there's 20 lawsuits going on right now in Minnesota against generic drug companies that have been price fixing and making it so Minnesotans can't afford their medication. They literally were texting each other to say, hey, we're going to raise our prices. Are you going to raise your prices? Let's all raise our prices. And then they raise their prices, making medications unavailable and unaffordable to Minnesotans. 20 lawsuits right now pending here in Minnesota. I'll continue that. Minnesotans need to have access to the medications they need, and you shouldn't have these big organizations being able to put profits over Minnesotans. We now have a new focus on the environment. We're seeing every day, and with the 3M lawsuit success, there is money to clean up the water. We know that polluters should pay for the damage that they've done in Minnesota. And so I would expect that I will bring more of those kinds of cases as well. You have to, of course, make the case. You have to build a case. But mostly Minnesotans are calling the Attorney General's office every day for assistance, whether it's on housing or healthcare companies that aren't paying for a medical bill or needing a medical procedure that insurance companies are refusing to pay for. They need an advocate in the Attorney General's office to help them deal with those everyday issues too.
You get a lot of calls. I mean, the AG's office gets a lot of calls. I always say the Secretary of State gets calls and the auditor gets calls. But those calls are generally not as – you know, you have more – these very pressing issues that come in. I'm going to take one of the issues you just talked about, and I want to put out a counterpoint to you because it's very interesting. I just had hernia surgery a week ago, and – when you talk about the opiate crisis, and I agree wholeheartedly, absolutely, there's zero disagreement with me with what you just said about the pharmaceutical companies. They pushed legalized heroin on the American people, and they should all be held – and they knew it too, and they all should be held accountable. When you go through a kid having a high school sports drug, you know, policy before the summer sports or the spring sports or the fall sports, they all say the same thing. You know, they do the drug talk. Used to be they talked about, you know, maybe crack or, you know, marijuana. 75% of the sports talk – I have kids in high school – is about opiates. And they say if you get hurt on the field, tell your doctor to not give you the opiates. I just had this surgery. When I went to the hospital, I said, can I have something else besides opiates? And they looked at me like, why wouldn't you want these? You're a pusher now. Stop it. And you want to know the truth is they never gave me another option. I ended up and trust me, my wife and I got home and was like, okay, the soonest I can cut off these things, I'm going to. There is a level of culpability that I think we have to look at the prescribers of this, that we know this is bad. We know this is horrible. Where is that line? When you're someone that's looking to do the prosecution, clearly the pharmaceutical companies need to be bearing the brunt of the blame. But shouldn't we have standards that say, you know, this is not something we should have being pushed on people that are getting surgeries or having a sports injury or something like this? We should, if someone says, I don't want an opiate, that the last thing that the person should say is, no, you need to take them.
Yeah. So in Minnesota, the number one overprescriber up until the law was changed were dentists. And so sometimes, really? Sometimes it's just about educating and setting some good standards. So there is currently a committee in place that's reviewing what are best practices related to opioids and so that there can be best practices, because there's a difference between being a misinformed or actually have it been lied to by a pharmaceutical company about the addictiveness of it.
Yes.
And what best practices are. And so we want to distinguish between who are the pill mill doctors and the doctors that are just pushing these out the door and really pill milling, and the ones that are just needing the standards to be put in place. But for the most part, it really was the pharmaceutical companies who lied to Minnesotans and lied to doctors about this addictiveness. And that's where we need to go on this issue. But it becomes so much more. It's become so much bigger, right, with access to healthcare, because if you actually can't even get in to see a doctor for issues that you have, if you are actually not able to get the medical payments paid by your insurance company for the procedures that you need, that too causes people to seek other alternatives, right? I just won't get it fixed. I will deal with it with a pain medication instead of actually fixing it. You should be able to get medical care. You should actually be able to see a doctor without having to file bankruptcy.
And I love how you just sort of said that. You know, the pharmaceuticals is an umbrella. You have to kind of treat the prescribers in more of an individual. We're going to make an example out of these. You know, whether it's a education, you know, okay, this just is an industry that doesn't understand what they're doing versus the person that might be breaking the law intentionally. And then you have to make that, you know, trying to make an example of that and say, you know, there are consequences to this action. I think absolutely agree wholeheartedly with that concept. You've been out on the road, and by the way, I commend you. Getting out in the outstate Minnesota, this is where these campaigns are won in outstate Minnesota, hands down, 100%. What are some issues that have come to light that the AG's office will have to address that you've become aware of as you've traveled out in outstate Minnesota?
Well, so in addition to people talking a lot about the opioid epidemic, as you're seeing we've had floods now in some areas, yeah. So farmers are having new issues. You're seeing that folks are worried about scammers coming in as you need people to help you, right? Taking down trees or fixing up properties, right? You have new people coming in saying, oh, don't worry, I can sell you this product or I can do this thing for you. It's not really a new problem. It's just a new area that's going to see it. And you're also seeing now an increase in the number of scams that people are doing, and they're more targeting our seniors more than ever. Mm-hmm. For the first time, our seniors actually have, they have a retirement maybe. They have Social Security. They have their house. And so scammers are taking the opportunity right now to say, I'm going to go where they think the money is, the easy targets. You know, I prosecuted cases of financial exploitation, right? People come in, they isolate that person from their family. They, in one case, they actually sold their house right out from underneath them.
Wow.
So we need to make certain that we have the tools there. Now, also, you're seeing that as companies get bigger and bigger, you're seeing that there's a more nationalization, right? The pharmaceutical company lawsuits, those are national lawsuits now because it isn't just Minnesota, but it's all across the country. And it's not just Democrats suing, it's Democrats and Republicans. So those are just some of the new issues that we're talking about and hearing about.
Well, and you're part of your district was hit by the tornadoes a few years ago. And I know they had a lot of scammer issues. They just come in like droves. And it's something that it's not one region of the city, is the country, or rather the state. It's not one region of the state. It's not one economic group. It is they're trying to take your money and try to get away with it. And they try to strike as fast as they can because they know that the attorney generals generally in most states are trying to crack down on that as quickly as possible.
They are. And sometimes you have companies, bigger companies who market and say, like CenturyLink, right? Come and sign up with me. I'll charge you X number of dollars. And then they charge more. And then you end up with these big suits where the state goes after them and says, you know, you broke the law. You can't sell one thing and deliver another.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to touch on something you just said about the role of the attorney general in a state to battle the federal government and where that lies. Deb Hillstrom joining us right now. She is one of the DFL candidates running for the attorney general's position. She's in studio with us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Warning, stand-up records may cause intestinal distress, fits of insane laughter, instant diarrhea, existential malaise, headaches, nausea, dizziness, vomiting, seasonal affective disorder, more headaches, pneumomono ultramicroscopic silicovolcanoconiosis. Stand-up records should not be handled by women who are pregnant, may become pregnant, have ever been pregnant, or personally know anyone who has been pregnant. Do not consult your doctor if he's operating heavy machinery. Stand-up records is for external application only. And stand-up records is, of course, good for a few laughs. So remember that standuprecords.com for the world's finest comedy CDs, DVDs, and merchandise. That's standuprecords.com. The revolution will be hilarious.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Progressive Voice of Minnesota, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Deborah Hillstrom is running for the DFL nomination for Attorney General. Once again, primary day is August 14th, 952-946-6205, and she is in studio with us right now. You had mentioned when we were talking about lawsuits that the state law, the state AGs across the country team up. This is not an individual party issue, that this is Republicans, Democrats often team up to fight against the federal government. I think one that doesn't affect us, but one that's very clear right now, the legalization of marijuana. They've basically, the attorney generals of a wide variety of states are all lining up and saying, you know, this is making us money. We're not going to go back on it. And as much as Jeff Sessions is trying to push down on them, they're pushing back. Talk about that role, the role of a state attorney general when it comes to fighting the federal government.
So the job of the attorney general is to take on folks who are seriously and persistently violating the law, no matter who they are. So whether that is the Secretary of Education, whether that's the president, whether that's a company or a nonprofit, that's the job. And so what you're seeing now is that Minnesotans, for example, you know, signed a bunch of student loans,
yeah,
right? And then all of a sudden the federal government decided they were going to change the rules about the student loans that you already had and that you already signed, and they were going to take away some of your protections. So that's a problem for Minnesotans. We had a contract, we made some agreements, and you shouldn't be able to just wave a magic wand and change the rules. So there's a federal lawsuit that's going on about that, right? Suing the Secretary of Education, saying, no, Minnesotans are entitled to those protections. You're seeing that Minnesota joined the lawsuit about the children that were being separated from their families at the border. So some said, you know, why would Minnesota care about what's happening at the border? Well, one, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But two, two of the children came to Minnesota. So they were here.
Yeah.
And so those are Minnesotans. And also the federal government was considering housing folks from the border here in Minnesota, two of the facilities that we have here. So very relevant to what's happening in Minnesota, Minnesotans. It was the right thing to do, and Minnesota had a reason to do it. So there's about 130 lawyers in the Minnesota Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General represents about 130 boards or about 100 boards and agencies. So you have to make certain that you bring the lawsuits that best represent Minnesotans and help them. So whether it's taking on the president, taking on the Secretary of Education, or taking on someone like a polluter, you have to make sure that you wisely use the resources, because the majority of people that call the Minnesota Attorney General's office, their issue might not make the national news, mm-hmm, but it might be the most important issue in their life. It determines whether or not they get to keep their housing, whether or not they have access to health care, whether or not their bill gets paid, whether they have to file bankruptcy. And so you need to make sure that you are being thoughtful and that you're being strategic in which suits you join, because you only have a small amount of resources, right, 130 lawyers.
The Southwest Light Rail Line, federal government transportation, they basically, if Trump all of a sudden tries to redo this, I mean, a lot of individuals went out on the line and got the money from the Minnesota side for that line. That would be a prime example of that if the federal government doesn't come with the transportation funds that were promised, that basically the attorney general will then have an option of saying, no, you promised this. You can't just change the rules.
So that's what's happening also with health care, right, with Obamacare. Some people like to call it the Minnesota Care Act, you know, all sorts of different names for basically insurance. You know, when the federal government decided they were not going to bring the money that they promised us, the Minnesota attorney general sues and says, no, you made this promise. You made this commitment to Minnesota. We're spending the money, and now you got to pay. And if you aren't, we're going to sue you. You can't break a contract, you know, if you're a private company. And sometimes the federal government can't break those contracts either.
Well, they should not be able to. I mean, it's Pawlenty did that when he did his whole thing. It was like, I didn't raise the taxes. I just didn't give the money to the counties and municipalities like I said I was going to, which then, because they had contracts, forced them to raise their taxes. And that was – it was a gimme. Now – you know, unfortunately, we did not have localized attorney generals that could have gone after the governor, but we actually now have a situation where we don't want that to happen. And I'm glad you understand that as far as that element goes, because let's face it, there's going to be a lot of fights we're going to have to fight against the federal government because he's just kind of incompetent. I don't know if you've kept aware of the guy. He seems to make some poor choices. I'm just saying.
But you need to be serious and thoughtful about where you bring lawsuits. Because, for example, Minnesota is part of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. That is the most conservative court in the country. So if you bring a federal case here in Minnesota and you win and then it goes to the Court of Appeals and you lose, you may set a bad precedent for the rest of the country. You want to make certain that you are joining cases potentially in Washington and Hawaii and Massachusetts because those don't have such a conservative Court of Appeals. Now, the other is we, of course, have to stop the appointment of the Supreme Court justice. But in the event that Donald Trump is successful in controlling the United States Supreme Court, you're going to want to make different choices about which cases you bring and where you bring them. You may want to bring more state cases because if you don't have an issue before the United States Supreme Court, they can't make a bad ruling. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be about being thoughtful, being strategic, and using your resources wisely to protect Minnesotans.
And by the way, quick side note, this is why you vote. Vote, for goodness sakes. It's not like we didn't know this in 2016. We sure know this now, so get out and vote. Speaking of voting, once again, the primary coming up here. Matt Pelican is the DFL official endorsed candidate. Keith Ellison made big news by jumping from the U.S. House race into this race. Mike Rothman, Tom Foley, yourself. Once again, you were, I believe, well before everyone else has gotten the contemplation of this. We want to make sure we point out as well your website. Which is debhillstrom.com, right?
Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Hillstrom, H-I-L-1-L-S-T-R-O-M-M-N.com.
All right. D-E-B-R-A-H-I-L-S-T-R-O-M-M-N.com. M-N.com. There you go. We want people to get out there. You are – we talk a lot. Yesterday, we had a nice man, Michael Northbird from 2A, running for the House seat up in 2A. You know, when he's running, he's looking for, you know, minor volunteers there. You are looking at a statewide race, a primary, also kind of cultivating for the potential primary win, taking it into November. You need a lot of volunteers when you're running for the Attorney General's office, right?
You do.
All right. Does your website have a lot of options out there for people to volunteer?
You can just click on one link, put your name in, and then we get back to you.
Alrighty. Are you doing a lot of parades?
We're doing some parades. Of course, there are many all over the state, so we're being strategic because you have to both do parades and do meet and greets. And so I think we have two or three coming up this weekend. We've done things like beanhole days and sweetheart days. So we are making certain that we're talking to as many Minnesotans as will talk to us, because ultimately, not only do we want to tell them what our message is, but we also want to hear what it is that they're concerned about.
And really, it's a lot of fun too. To a point, where are you going to be heading on after you're heading out a few days here? We're heading to out state Minnesota.
Yes, so we will be doing kind of all the way up to Moorhead. We'll be doing Duluth then the next day, but we'll be coming back because we're going to go to the funeral of the corrections officer that died here.
Well, if you have a chance, I mean, obviously you're going to be talking to as many people as you can out there, making your case on the DFL side. If you see she's coming to town, by all means, take some time and go out and find out, put forward your ideas, what you'd like to see. She'll be more than happy to talk to you, as she has with us here as Democrat of the Day. Deborah Hillstrom, MN.com. Deborah Hillstrom, MN.com. All my best. Good luck in the Attorney General's DFL race here. And if we win, we move on to November. All my best there. Thank you very much for coming into studio.
Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Deborah Hillstrom joining us once again, Democrat of the Day. We've got Doug Padgett coming in here right after this show. Thank you very much for Brett. And we are back tomorrow with Jeff Stein. Till then, see ya.